Radio Prague News.
The Civic Democrat and Topo 9 parties have struck a deal to form a center-right coalition at Prague City Hall. Swiss prosecutors have uncovered evidence of corruption in the 2002 privatization of Škoda Plzeň. And the Czech Republic has one of the highest shares of obese people in the European Union. The Civic Democrat and Topo 9 parties on Thursday reached a deal to form a center-right coalition at Prague City Hall, with Civic Democrat Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda retaining his post. The deal comes days after the Civic Democrats, in a surprise move, terminated a coalition with the Social Democrats, quoting budget issues as the reason. A split in the Civic Democrat Party's Prague branch is thought to have triggered the latest developments at Prague City Hall. While party members aligned behind the head of Prague Civic Democrat branch Boris Častný toppled the previous coalition, Thursday's deal with the Topo 9 group is considered a victory for his party rival, Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, who was backed by party chair Prime Minister Petr Nečas. Swiss prosecutors have uncovered new evidence of corruption related to the 2002 privatization of the Czech engineering giant Škoda Plzeň, the daily Mladá fronta Dnes reported on Thursday. The Swiss detectives found out that the Appian Group, which acquired the engineering firm, sent 150 million crowns in consultation fees to an offshore company, which later transferred the money to firms in the Czech Republic. Last year, Swiss authorities reportedly asked Czech prosecutors for cooperation in investigating the illegitimate money trails. The European Commission has closed the case against the Czech Republic for breaching EU public procurement rules in the 2009 purchase of four Spanish Caza military aircraft. In a statement on Thursday, the Commission said it still had doubts about the €132 million deal, which was awarded without proper tendering procedures. However, the case was dropped as Czech authorities provided assurances that in the future EU rules would be observed. Czech Defense Minister Alexander Vondra told reporters on Thursday the Commission's decision had been the result of Czech diplomatic efforts. The Czech Republic has one of the highest rates of obese people in the European Union, according to a survey by the bloc statistics body Eurostat released on Thursday. Based on data from 2008 and 2009, the proportion of obese people in the adult Czech population reached 18.3%, which puts the country in fifth place among all 27 EU member states. Czech women aged between 65 and 74 top the EU's obesity chart with 35.9%. The survey suggests that obesity levels are higher with less educated people, while it found no relation between obesity and gender. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The spell of gloomy weather with overcast skies, fog and drizzle should continue for days to come, with daytime highs ranging between 2 and 6 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, a new center-right coalition has emerged at Prague City Hall. We talk to Reta Slavik-Chandler, the president of the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center in LaGrange, Texas. And in Panorama today, an exhibition of Czech inventors and inventions is underway at the National Museum in Prague. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. A dramatic week at Prague City Hall seems to be drawing to a close, and the Czech capital will be under new management. The city's grand coalition of the rival Civic and Social Democrats ended abruptly on Monday night, and on Thursday morning a new ruling coalition was announced just as swiftly. The Topo 9 party, which actually won the election to City Hall last fall, but has been in opposition ever since, will now have a majority on the council, while the Civic Democrats and Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda will keep the top position. Likely no one was more surprised at the outcome of the situation than the chairman of the Civic Democratic Party's Prague chapter, Boris Šťastný, the man who caused the breakup of the original coalition and who was sidestepped on the decision, which Mayor Svoboda and his supporters arranged with Topo 9 on their own. While political commentators have themselves been struggling to keep up with events at City Hall this week, Jiří Pehe of New York University told us how he interprets the situation.
Well, I think that what we are actually seeing in Prague is this is a split within the party organization of the Civic Democratic Party, and that basically creates two groups within the party. One is controlled by Boris Chastny, the head of the regional organization, and the other one is controlled by Mayor Svoboda. And although I think that the original plan was to, in a way, destroy the coalition between the Civic Democratic Party and the Social Democratic Party, and at the same time achieve recalling the mayor, in the end, it seems that the mayor and his group have enough votes to actually create a coalition with on their own, either with Topo 9 or the Social Democratic Party.
So it's a kind of coup d'etat within the party, I guess you could say, with Mayor Svoboda as the winner. What happens now to the opposition part of the party against the mayor?
Well, I think that this will only deepen the split within the Civic Democratic Party, but at the same time, it is also a battle between those politicians within the Civic Democratic Party in Prague who are not tied closely to certain business interests and groups. And then on the other part, Mr. Chastny's part, which is actually, I think, working very closely with various business interests behind the scenes. So this whole development is also a fight for maybe a cleaner Civic Democratic Party in Prague. Of course, we have to wait and see, but it seems to me that maybe Mr. Chastny has overplayed his hand, and that actually the group of people who are not so interested in working anymore with various non-transparent groups behind the scenes will have the upper hand.
Cleaning up has been the main theme for Topo 9, which has been in opposition until now, and they're, of course, very happy with this outcome. They've said they're not interested in the post of mayor, but in getting certain old faces out of City Hall. Do you think this is going to represent really a change in that direction?
I think it will, it may represent a change in Prague. We should also remember that it was Topo 9 that won the elections in Prague, and really the coalition between the ODS and the Social Democrats was a slap in the face of the Prague electorate, and quite clearly this coalition was created simply because of behind the scenes interests of because of certain economic pressures. Now it seems that these pressures will be much smaller, not so significant, and that could perhaps, if we are lucky, and one never knows in the Czech Republic, we could perhaps see less corruption in Prague.
Political commentator Jiří Behe of New York University was talking to Christian Falvy. Now, the city of LaGrange in Texas, historically a major site of Czech settlement, remains to this day a hub of Czech culture. Those who want to stay in touch with the local Czech community or would like to trace their roots can visit the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center located in the city. Besides offering research facilities, the center also organizes various events, most recently a gala where old Czech bands were honored earlier this month, or a nativity art exhibition which has just opened. Reta Slavik-Chandler is the president of the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center. Herself of Czech Moravian ancestry, she comes to the Czech Republic on a regular basis. During her last visit, I talked to her about the center.
We have built a center that has a genealogical library and a museum, and also a hall that which we rent out so people can have weddings there and parties. We've restored some of the early Texas homes that are typical of what it was like when they moved from here. And they came between the years of 1860 or 70 through 1900. So many of them moved from many parts of Moravia. Some are from Czechy, but mostly from Moravia. Their life was not easy when they came. I mean, they had to, some of them lived in just small houses and large families, but they were very glad to get there because they could own land. That was very important. The land and freedom was very important to them. And so many stayed. Some came back, but my family decided to stay. But I always wanted to come back to see what it was like.
What kind of events do you organize?
We have one that is called Slavnost, and we have that in May. And so we honor people that came. We select certain time periods, like those who came between 1890 and 1895, and we invite those to come. And we give certificates, and they tell us where their ancestors came from, what village, what town. And so we have a record of all of those, and we keep that. And so every year, then we do five more years and five more.
Are Czech Texans proud of their heritage?
Oh, very proud. Very, very proud. They're just, of course, we still sing the old songs. You know, we were kind of in a little bubble there. We didn't move with the time, so we'll... We have quite a few Czech bands, and we have some new young people that have started bands, and they're continuing with that Czech music. But it is very important to me, as president of the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center, that we preserve our Czech heritage, that our descendants, that my daughter and my grandchildren, know what Czech is all about.
Reta Slavik Chandler, the president of the Texas Czech Heritage and Cultural Center in LaGrange, Texas. Now it's time for Panorama on Radio Prague, and today Daniela Lazarová takes us to an interesting exhibition now underway in Prague. An exhibition titled Czech Inventors and Inventions is currently underway at the National Museum in Prague. It introduces visitors to the life and work of more than 20 Czech or Czech-born inventors who made their mark in the world. The exhibition covers achievements in many fields of human activity, engineering, medicine, agriculture, biology, chemistry, as well as in the humanities. But you will also find curious and somewhat absurd creations, which never went beyond the prototype stage. I asked Pavel Dosha, who heads the museum's cultural heritage department, to show me round, and we started our tour in the entrance hall, where a group of people were admiring an enormous snow machine.
That's the biggest exhibit of our exhibition. It's 5 meters long, and it's propeller-driven sledge. So it's a car on the skis, and it has been made in the 40s, last century. And it was ordered by Nazi army, to use in the war, but it has never been used. So it's just only one prototype in the Czech Republic.
Is this the only one then, or
yeah.
Is this a copy of the... This is obviously a copy of the original one that was made...
No, it is original, and in America there is one copy made 3 years ago.
So where was this made?
It was made in Kopřevnice, a small town in Moravia, and it's based on a car, on Tatra, and there are 4 skis instead of wheels.
Has it been tested on snow? Obviously, how fast would it go?
We don't know. We don't. Probably it has been tested in Kopřevnice and maybe in Switzerland. And we suppose that it runs 80 kilometers per hour.
Why was it never actually put to use?
We don't know. Maybe because the war was over. Maybe there were no money for improvements. We don't know.
Why was it never put to use after the war, for instance? Do you think it's just too cumbersome, or is it too expensive?
Because, you know, in Czech Republic there are no conditions for to travel by this vehicle. So I think that this is the reason, because it was made for Russia front.
Well, can we move on then, and you can show me what else you have? I hear that the exhibition is very interactive. It's mainly for children and young people.
Yeah, we are focusing on children, pupils, and young people. And by interactive games, we would like to present not only the inventions, but what is to be inventor, that it's not so easy to invent something. So children can try it, how is it to work in laboratory and to study and to cooperate with other researchers.
Right, so can we have a look at what else you have? Here we see a marker set.
It is marker set. It used to be a very popular game in the 80s, 70s.
We should say it's a construction set for children.
Yeah, it's just only construction, but the main aim of why it is presented here is that because Otto Wichterle invented contact lens by this marker set.
Well, that's amazing. So now we move into another hall.
Yeah, now we are in Trons Hall, and we can see two parts of the exhibition. In the first room, there are inventions from the engineering and chemistry and biology. And in the another room, visitors can see inventions from humanities or human field.
What are those children playing with?
There are many hands-on exhibits, so now we can see children how they drive a Dálník. Model of the Dálník is a vehicle, motor vehicle, something between motorbike and car. Yeah.
And this part of the hall, then here we see individual exhibits, so if we could stop and say what each of them is, what have we got here?
Now we can see a lighting rod. It was founded by Prokof Divish in the end of the 18th century. So it's a very, very famous Czech inventions. But of course American, because the another inventor, Benjamin Franklin, in the same time, had founded lighting rod.
So Prokof Divish actually never got credit for it, did
yeah,
he?
Yeah, you are right. Now we are in the part devoted to chemistry and biology, of course. So we can see the inventions of Jan Jánský, who founded or classified four blood groups. So we can see a child who is trying to
match the
right group of blood.
Right. Who else is here? There's a motorcycle over there.
Yeah, it's very popular among the men. So we can see two types of motorbikes. Java in Czech is called Perak, and another one is Czechie.
So they're Czech made, and yeah, they're here within the inventions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Czech made, and it used to be very popular here in Czech Republic.
And this looks like a sailboat,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a glass case. What is this?
Yeah, it's a sailboat, but it's the reason why it is presented here that you can see a screw propeller in the background of the ship. So Ressel invented a screw propeller. And for the first time, he used it on Civeta, is the name of the ship.
Right, so another Czech invention. And over there, these look like medical instruments of some sort.
Yeah, because we can say that Czech Republic bring to the world plastic surgery. František Burian was the founder or inventor.
And here?
Now we can see maybe the famous Czech inventor Jaroslav Hejerovský, because he got a Nobel Prize in the 50s because he invented polarography in general.
And I'm sure we'll find Wichterle's contact lenses here somewhere if we look hard enough.
We can see a machine which he made the lens by.
All right, this is what he used at home.
Yeah, the equipment which he used for making the lens in the 60s. It's made from mercury set.
Right, and this looks like a report card, school report card.
Yeah, I guess, it's his school report card. We can see it's from his...
And I can see it's not all A's, as one would assume.
Yeah.
There are some bees.
Dokonca i sis. We can see that in German, German language, he get sis.
Right, and this microscope here.
These things are belongings to Jan Evangelista Purkyně. He was a very vivid inventor. So
plenty of inventions
Yeah, you can see plenty of inventions.
So the most significant?
The most significant is inventions and discoveries on the field of cells. Yeah.
Do you have an exhibit here that you particularly like, a favorite exhibit of yours?
Yeah, it's in the second room. Yeah, and there are a few exhibits, maybe absurd inventions, yeah, which were never used in daily life. So there are Ornithoptera, it's aircraft vehicle, and it's fly by moving wings as a bird.
But it's not functional, obviously, is it?
It is. It's used till the present days. In Canada, they are using it and trying to use the Ornithoptera, but this is from the beginning of 20th century.
We really can see some curiosities here. Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, it is a Dalnik. It is an original car. It has been loaned from National Technical Museum.
When was this used? Was this ever used?
It was used in the 20s, and probably.
Well, it looks like a two-seater.
Yeah, because it was used like motorbike. Yeah.
Here we see another similar construction of the same thing.
You can see.
Semtex. Well, everyone will know about that, won't they?
Yeah. But it's not exhibited here. Very dangerous. But just here it's just only mentioned.
Right.
About it.
And Veremoska. Yeah. Now we have listeners who know about this in Britain. Right. Uh-huh. Well, explain what this is then, please.
Yeah, it's something like electric oven. Been invented in Czechoslovakia in the 50s, popular till now. And my grandmother uses it almost every day.
Mine too. And is there anything else here? Oh my goodness, all the huge exhibits.
Very, very popular part of the exhibition because it features brewing industry, sugar industry.
So what have we here? Is this all, are those instruments all equipment for making beer then?
Yeah, making sugar or beer.
Beer bottles maybe, yeah. Dating back God knows when. I've not seen those.
Yeah, it's a collection of 19th century beer bottles.
And clogs.
Yeah, they were used in breweries. Mm-hmm. And this is a very interesting thing for separate honey from honey cells.
From the comb.
Yeah, from the comb, honeycomb. In Czech, it's called medomet.
And how does it work?
Yeah, it.
You turn this handle, I suppose.
Yeah, you turn this handle.
And where do you put
it? Rotate and the handle.
Oh, right, and it falls. It drops.
Yeah, you are right.
To the bottom of this barrel.
Yeah, honey separator, sorry.
Right. Was this actually used on a daily basis, or is it one of those inventions that simply.
Yeah, it was used. It was used, of course.
Oh, and this thing hanging from the ceiling.
It's Ornithoptera. It's Ornithoptera.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can see four wings, and they were moving.
So it turns, actually.
Yeah, it turns, of course, it turns.
So the wind carries you.
Yeah.
Well, it looks amazing, but I wouldn't get on anything. Swarovski jewelry, what is it doing here?
Because he was born in Jiřetín pod Bukovou, a small town in Czech Republic. So it's mentioned here.
I think many people would be surprised by some of the things they find here.
It's very hard to classify what is Czech inventions, who is Czech inventors. So we could mention Porsche. Not many people know that he was born in Czech Republic, or in Czech lines, sorry.
Right. And you even have Czech.
Yeah, I would like to mention the Czech words in foreign languages. Probably everyone knows the word robot, yeah. But there are another ones like polka or dolar.
Polka is a Czech dance.
Polka is a Czech dance.
which appeared in 1835, it says.
Yeah, and then spread around Europe and around the world. It became famous because the work of Czech composers as Patrick Smetana.
And football tennis.
Football tennis is special Czech game. It's called nohejbal, something like volleyball, but played by feet.
So could you tell me, in conclusion, why you chose to put up this exhibition?
We would like to present Czech inventions and inventors and to popularize among the Czech children and people what the Czech country gave to the Europe and to the world.
Pavel Doša, head of the National Museum's Cultural Heritage Department, was talking to Daniela Lazarová in this week's edition of Panorama. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language program brought to you by Ruth Franková.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song called Život je pes by Pavel Sedláček, which was very popular in the 1960s. The title of the song also happens to be the phrase we'll hear today. Život je pes, a já se musím holit. The young man in the song complains that his beard started to grow and now he needs to shave it regularly. That's why he says that život je pes, literally life is a dog. There is a similar phrase in English with more or less the same meaning. It's a dog's life. Let's listen to the phrase once again. A vzliká, život je pes, a já se musím holit. Život je pes is one of the many Czech idioms that use the word dog. Judging from their meaning, dog's life is apparently not seen as an easy one. When you want to say that you don't feel well, you would say cítím se pod psa, literally, I feel worse than a dog. And if the weather is really bad, not even a dog would be driven away. In Czech, ani psa by nevyhnal. Dogs appear in other idioms, such as zakopaný pes, which translates into English as a buried dog. When you ask kde je zakopaný pes, where is the dog buried, you are trying to find the cause of some problem. And an increasing number of Czechs live on a dog's book, na psí knižku, which means they live in sin. I'm sorry to say I don't know the origin of that strange expression. Finally, there is a phrase dělat psí oči, to make dog's eyes. In English, there is a similar idiom, but instead of a dog, it features a doe. If you for some reason feel worse than a dog, or the weather is so bad that you wouldn't drive your dog away, then stay at home and listen to Soundcheck. You can find today's phrases as well as all previous lessons on Radio Prague's website www.radio.cz/English. But for now, thanks for listening and naschledanou. A vzliká, život je pes, a já se musím holit.
Yeah, yeah. That was Ruth Franková with Soundcheck wrapping up Radio Prague's program for today. From me, Pavla Horáková, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.